Winning season has officially returned, and with NFL Preseason Live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Thursday, August 28, 2025. Thank you for downloading. Kevin Sheehan from Team 980 and the Kevin Sheehan Podcast. I cannot have a football season without first talking to my boy Sheehan and saying, let's go have a season. He is very bullish on a number of teams that may surprise you. Stay tuned for that coming up in just a second. Some odds and ends, and then after Sheehan, a fascinating question about something purporting to be AI and Chat GPT. But let's start with some food-related items. Dateline Chipotle. Brett McMurphy, covering college football for On3 Sports, writes to say, Chipotle is giving every scholarship and walk-on student athlete at Florida, Georgia, and Ohio State a customized gift card granting them free Chipotle for the duration of their respective athletic seasons. He writes, hopefully they don't skimp on the rice and guacamole. Of course, the very first response is a photo of someone's Porsche that is driven straight into the front door of a Chipotle with the tagline, Georgia players pulling up for a burrito. That right there is like, and it, for a college student, it's like an incredible gold card. You could say, well, many of the players already are on NIL deals that pay them upwards of $1 million. Why do they care about free Chipotle? It's free. If it's free, it's for me. The rush and the adrenaline of here, give me something I like or love, like a Chipotle burrito, and I pay you nothing. Oh, that right there is intoxicating. Of course, I like Chipotle. I like Chipotle because they now know me at my local location, and they know to get the plain white rice without the cilantro from the back. It's a hassle, minor one, but they don't seem to suffer it, and they see me walk in the door, and they're already two steps ahead of me. But I also like Chipotle because, of course, they have Coca-Cola products, which brought me to this TikTok from a guy by the name of The Real Dustin Anderson, or I think his name is Dustin Anderson, looks like a stand-up comic, and his TikTok account is under the hook of, I hope this helps. So I guess every one of his rants, and this one's a minute 15, ends with, I hope this helps. It's a very funny hook. That's also a good tip for you out there that want to become a brand or an influencer or go viral. Have a hook. Have a shtick. His shtick is, I hope this helps. He goes in on the, is Pepsi okay thing. Take a listen.
Is Pepsi okay? No, it's not. And you know it's not. That's why it sounded like an apology when you asked me that. I drink 88 ounces of Diet Coke every day. And it's not because I want to. It's because I don't want to die today. That's the only thing keeping me alive. And it's not the caffeine. That's what the energy drinks are for. One every morning, one after lunch, sometimes one right before bed if I'm feeling frisky and I want to meet the aliens. But I'm not drinking Diet Coke for the caffeine. It's for the hydration. I went cold turkey 2 years ago and I almost died. And it wasn't from caffeine overdose. I was severely dehydrated. I didn't realize how much water is in Diet Coke. It's almost all of the water that I drink. apparently, so I can't stop. And don't tell me about the aspartame. I know about the aspartame. Every Coke drinker knows you got to decide between just full prescription strength Coca-Cola Classic from the red can, just dance like nobody's watching and deal with the type 2 diabetes, or you go diet and you get throat cancer. There's no in between. I made my decision a long time ago, and it's not because I'm afraid of diabetes. I'm going to get that anyway from the bread that I eat. It's because I like the taste of the aspartame. I like the Diet Coke. It's so good that I already know how I'm going to die, and I'm not doing anything to change it. So, no, Pepsi is not okay. I hope this helps.
Brilliant. I've hit follow on that guy. I'm going to have to check out some of his other videos. To media news. This is interesting. On the very same day that Gilbert Arenas and Skip Bayless announced they're teaming up on a new show. Great. And it's going to be a football show. A guy in Gilbert Arenas, who's a former basketball player and a scumbag, and a guy who might be going to jail for running illegal poker games. Skip Bayless, his football acumen is as if it was written in crayon. It's a joke. So, yeah, the show will be owned by Underdog Media that currently hosts Arenas' current basketball program. And it'll also feature former NFL cornerback Aqib Talib and former NFL coach Jay Gruden. So they're just kind of recreating the same slop that used to be on ESPN and Fox Sports 1, only now on digital platforms. Good luck to them. But on the same day that was announced, ESPN announced a new multi-year deal with Cam Newton on his role on First Take. Somewhere, Shannon Sharp must just be slamming his fist into a table, thinking, that was my $5 million a year job. Yeah, well, Cam's got it now. Cam. Are Cam's takes any better than Shannon's? No. No, they're just as terrible. But his outfits are flamboyant, and he's a recently retired and relevant personality. So, yes, he's gotten an extension. Then there's this. Robert Griffin III has signed a deal with Fox Sports to be a college game analyst. And John Fanta has left Fox to become NBC's lead Big East voice, per reports. Fanta is like this fast-rising sort of super nerd, if you don't know who John Fanta is. And Fanta has powered his way to a really good track in media by doing two things. One, being extremely knowledgeable. And two, having a lot of passion for the sport, basketball, college hoops that he covers primarily. Not that he doesn't know other stuff. He's a big Browns fan as well. But it doesn't matter that he looks sort of like a character out of some weird sitcom. The roly-poly, somewhat pudgy, horn-rim glasses, John Fanta. He's a great act, and it gets by with passion and knowledge. He's passionate. He's knowledgeable. He has a sense of humor. He's got a strong chin. He can dish it, and he can take it. So that's a tough day for Fox, that they lose Fanta and add RG3, one of the fakest guys out there. To golf, the Ryder Cup pairings or Ryder Cup team was announced, the captain's picks, and they pretty much went to form, except the big story was, of course, that Keegan Bradley, the captain, did not choose himself to be a playing captain. Now, I know I've said I want him to choose himself, lean into it, be unapologetic, and say I'm taking extra shirts at the end of it. But truthfully, when it came down to it, I get it. He's doing the right thing. Leadership requires sacrifice. And he is focusing on the job that he accepted. The job that was turned down first by Tiger. Phil would have been the obvious second choice, but he's now toxic and part of LIV. So they went to Keegan Bradley and said, okay, I'll do it. And he's fallen through. So it's very painful because he wants to be on the team and play. Hopefully he keeps playing well enough the next 2 years, his age 40 and 41 seasons, that he can make the team next time and play and not be a captain. But I applaud him for that. Ben Griffin is the one sort of new guy that if you're a casual golf fan, you probably don't know. And his backstory is phenomenal. He's not a big dude. He doesn't have flowing locks like Tommy Fleetwood. He looks pretty unremarkable. In part because 4 years ago, he was working as a mortgage loan officer. He had washed out of golf. Played golf at North Carolina, tried to make it on tour, couldn't, had some injuries, kind of gave it up, said, well, I've got to pay the bills somehow. But then behind a desk for a couple of years, he's like, screw it, let's make one more run at it. Got his game back together, caught something, figured something out, right? Haven't we all been there in golf? Like, I'm onto something, I figure something out. And he has been phenomenal this year. Two wins, including a whole bunch of top 10s, was comfortably in the top 12 in points, but there was some question as to whether or not he would be left off. He has been put on the team. He has a short game that is nothing short of wizard, witchcraft, voodoo. Good. So hopefully that'll be on display at Bethpage Black. But he also has this great vibe about him because he wears what looks like 7-Eleven sunglasses that he just pulled off a rack. No golfer wears these style of sunglasses. They're just like cheap sunglasses. And that's his look. That's what he wears. So who knows what the weather's going to be like at the end of September up at Bethpage, but I hope the sunglasses are part of the shtick at the Ryder Cup. Science. Scientists discover one-of-a-kind bright orange shark swimming off Costa Rica. I saw the headline, like, bright orange? How bright and how orange are we talking? Whoa! Jeez! Bright orange shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Bright orange shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Bright orange shark, doo-doo-doo-doo. You might want to Google that one. It's something else. Dateline, more science. Eating meat, not linked to higher risk of death, and may even protect against cancer-related mortality. Colon study. No shit. The amount of nutritional misinformation and ass-backward, upside-down, incorrect thinking about nutrition continues to this day. And you thought after the food pyramid of the 70s was thoroughly debunked, where they're like, yeah, you need 6 to 8 servings of bread and rice a day. What? Yeah. You would think that they would get a better bead on things, but no, the demonization of meat has still not fully been extinguished, but here's another study saying exactly the opposite. Dateline Chapel Hill, so Belichick and his little prize girlfriend have leaned into the people's perception that she's just in it for the money and the fame. Jordan Hudson and Belichick have trademarked or filed a trademark application for the term gold digger. I kid you not. With the intention of using it to create a line of jewelry and keychains. Talk about taking lemons and making lemonade. Wow, that is something. Coming up, Kevin Sheehan, Team 980, and the Kevin Sheehan podcast runs with me through the entire NFL, and we ask one most pressing question for each of the 32 teams. You are listening to the Zabecast. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
Just felt like this was the perfect song to start the football season in earnest. My next guest shares the enthusiasm for my phrase, let's go have a season, Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Podcast and the Team 980. Come inside the show, Kevin. The show that never ends. The show known as football.
I used your let's go have ourselves a season at least 20 times, but most times we really didn't go have ourselves a season.
No, many times. Until last year. No season. And I would say this time last year with Jaden Daniels at the helm, I seem to recall you saying you were bullish on the year. So you called it early on. You had a feeling you were right.
You know, even a blind squirrel finds whatever it is. You had no idea
it'd be that fucking good, though.
No, nobody no did. I mean, it was partly tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I was just a big fan of him, you know, all the way through college. So I was bullish on him, but no one could have predicted last year. Yeah.
Well, you know what? As we like to say, of course you should be optimistic in August. Because you got all the rest of the year to be pissed off when your team sucks. There's no reason not to at least find some optimism in August.
Doesn't cost you anything, Zabe, to be optimistic.
Nope, it is dead free. How many teams, though, how many fan bases do you think go into this year with absolutely no hope whatsoever?
Oh, man.
The Giants?
No, they've got a good roster.
Really?
Okay.
The Jets. Yeah.
The Jets would seem to be a no-hoper.
Okay. Yeah. The Browns.
The Browns. The roster's not terrible. Hold Joe Flacco on.
Right.
Get it done occasionally.
Right.
I don't know. You know the NFL. It's so hard to predict that. But the Jets look terrible. After that, I mean, I think the Panthers are going to be a little. How about the Saints?
The Saints are truly hopeless. I'd say the Colts are on the verge of that as well.
Yep.
The Raiders shouldn't have any expectations, but there's hope in the form of a new coach in Pete Carroll and the rookie running back, Ashton Jeanty.
Right.
The whole NFC South is disgusting, but Tampa's probably the best of the lot there.
Yep. And Atlanta's got some players. There's no doubt about that. If Penix Jr. ends up being the right guy, they could be, I think, better than people think.
Yeah.
It's still
a TV show about quarterbacks in a league that is heavily dependent upon who is your signal caller, and there's just no getting around that. The days of winning with running and defense ain't going to happen.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that's why here, you know, for the first time in forever, there is legitimate, you know, hope, more than hope. There are expectations that this year will be a year in which they win more games than they lose. And they're in the postseason because they have, I think they have the best quarterback in the NFC. And if you've got the best quarterback in your conference, dare I say it, but you're a Super Bowl contender. And I think Washington is because of Jaden Daniels.
Wow. 1 year in, best quarterback in the NFC. Better
Who
than Goff in Detroit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Better than Purdy in San Francisco.
Not even close.
Better than a healthy Stafford in LA.
That's close, but who would you rather have?
Well, the who would you rather have is a slightly different question than who's better. Because there's upside factored in.
Right now, I would still take Jaden. I would still take Jaden because you got to have, you know, in this day and age, mobility is such a difference maker at the end of the day if all things are close.
How about better than the Super Bowl champion, Jalen Hurts?
Yes.
Better than Jordan Love with the massive contract?
I like Jordan Love, but yes.
But I don't like him as much as I like Jaden Daniels.
Right. Yeah. I don't. I think, you know, it's very debatable, but in terms of what we saw last year, and there's no reason to think that there's some sort of sophomore slump coming. He didn't have a flaw
right
last year, Zabe. It's not like we're going to say, you know, in late September, oh my God, thank God he fixed that. There's nothing last year that you came away thinking, oh, he's got to improve in that area or it could be a problem.
69%, 25 over 9. And then if that wasn't enough for you, running stats, let me get them for you here.
He was the team's second
140 rusher, right 148 carries and 891 yards and 6 touchdowns with his legs on
Let's
top of the 25
the
with his arm.
Gene, which was on display nearly every week, yeah, with him strapping the team to his back and leading them to some sort of late win in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Well, first quarterback Zabe rookie to lead a team to the championship game. Without having the defense lead the way, because their defense was not good last year.
Right, right. God forbid the rest of the league if Daniels gets better by 10% this year in his second season.
And why doesn't – I don't think more people consider that. I mean, I went back and looked at Josh Allen's second year after he started his first year. I mean, it was ridiculously, you know, better than the first productive year. You've got many examples of that. Nobody's saying about Patrick Mahomes after he had 7 fourth quarter wins last year, well, he can't duplicate that. He can't replicate that. And I think, you know, Daniels, with respect to the ability to strap a team and carry it, I don't see that going away. And year 2, same system. And they've added to the offense. They've added up front. They've added Deebo Samuel as a weapon. I think offensively, I'm very confident on what they are as long as he's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, he is a quick-footed, smooth-hipped, incredibly software-proficient defense reader, insanely accurate arm. He lives with his mom, and he's all about football. He ain't about all the other bullshit. He's about football.
Yeah, this isn't what we had in 2012 going into 2013.
Yeah. So I'm dying to know, as you watch RG3 from afar, having lived the experience with me, with him as quarterback of this team, what do you think of RG3 now?
It's funny. Somebody texted me during the show today to say, once Marcus Mariota is in question for the opener, because he's dealing with like Achilles tendonitis, you'll see RG3 tweet out, "Sign me, I'd be a great mentor for Jaden Daniels."
Right.
As if they don't have any. I mean, it's insufferable. I honestly don't pay attention to it unless people bring it to my attention. But we know that there's a self-absorption there that is just off the charts.
Yeah.
And there isn't a lot of, I would call, self-awareness as part of the mix.
Yeah. So where were you on the McLaurin front? Because, you know, the details of his deal are starting to come out now. And it looks like he was able to pry open a bit of a raise from what the expected number would be. But it doesn't seem like he broke the bank with this August holdout.
No, this was, you know, if this were a fight, it would have been stopped with the team being, declared the victor.
Right.
I was pro-team in getting a fair deal and not doing what we lived through for so long, which is becoming the team that every aging veteran comes to get paid. And it was, I thought, a very important first, you know, negotiation for a first-time general manager in Adam Peters, and I thought the team did very well. And at the same time, they never had to make an offer to Terry. He was under contract, and Terry walks away with $44 million guaranteed, which he would have never had an opportunity to get next year or beyond. So even though it's far less than I think what Terry and his agent wanted, certainly initially and even throughout the process, I think it's the right thing for him, and I think it was a very good deal for the team. A lot of flexibility for the team, and the value is probably right where it should be.
I like him as a player, though. I really do. I like
too.
Him as a pro. I feel like he's been a pro's pro with some shit quarterbacks.
No doubt. And I think that's why they offered him a deal. You know, there's no rule that says going into your final year of a deal, a team has to come to you and offer you a contract extension. I think they did it because I think they really like him and they want him to be here for at least a couple of years. And that's really what the contract is. You know, it's 2 years. And then if he plays well, they'll keep him around and continue to pay him gladly.
Yeah. All right. What are your thoughts about the rest of the league as we get ready to push off from shore? And then also I want to get into the media landscape with how the league is being chopped up, split up, sent out to all different parts of the internet and networks, and we're going to be paying for it more than ever.
So there are two teams, and I'm sure you've talked a lot about all of these teams, that are really interesting to me.
Okay.
Number one, the 49ers in the NFC. They have true star players everywhere. Will those star players still be stars and will they be healthy? Because if they are, they should be a contender. And then for me, and I think you're going to totally disagree with this, I think the Steelers are really interesting because I think Aaron Rodgers played well last year towards the end of the year. And I think a year after that Achilles, he started to get into a rhythm. And if that team didn't lose games because of Aaron Rodgers, their kicker blew two games and their defense was terrible. And I think if Rodgers is a top half of the league starter, which I think he is, I think Pittsburgh's going to be really dangerous.
You know, the thing about Rodgers, and I don't think he's going to have a good season in total. I think he'll have his moments. But the thing about Rodgers is that there's a track of him similar to Favre that is almost matching up age for age, year by year, that Greeny, of all people, I cannot believe I'm giving credit to Mike Greenberg on this, he went through it and he goes, look, Tomlin has made chicken salad out of chicken shit. And guess who had a bomb year when he left the Jets for one more year at age 40 in Minnesota? Brett Favre. Why couldn't that be Rodgers? And maybe he's right. Although I just don't know about Rodgers. I feel like he is getting slower and more hesitant at contact than ever before. And that's a lethal thing if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, interesting. You might be right. Some of those games last year where people were hanging it on Rodgers, like, and I also love the narrative. Like, he hasn't been good for 2 years. Well, 2 years ago, four plays into the season, he tore his Achilles.
It wasn't even a year. Right. It wasn't even a year. And last year, his bad year was still like 15th in the league. So
exactly. Yeah. So what have they always needed since Roethlisberger's, best days? Just, top half of the league quarterback performance. And I think he can provide that.
All right. Biggest questions around the league. Other than those questions there, let me start with the Micah Parsons thing. What do you think is really going on? Supposedly this is getting personal now. And I guess I heard today Micah is going to go see a back specialist to maybe get some evidence of a back injury because he's not going to want to play, but he wants to get paid while they haggle this thing out. What's going on with Jarrah, in your opinion?
I don't know, but this is his obvious MO for getting big deals done. This one seems a bit different because, as you just said, and everything we read, it seems really personal. It seems like they don't like each other at all. That wasn't the case with Dak. That wasn't really the case, I don't think, with CeeDee Lamb. I can tell you this, as some of our fans believe that Micah Parsons wants to play for Dan Quinn. He can want that all he wants, but there's no way Jerry's
let him going in division. Washington. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Do you think he's at the level of TJ Watt and Myles Garrett?
I don't. I think the sack numbers are gaudy. I think he's more of a one-dimensional player. Of course, it's a great dimension. Putting the quarterback in the dirt will win games, especially at the rate of 12 to 15 times a year. But no, I don't think he's in that. He's not on that level. He's not on Garrett's level. That's number one.
He's not on Garrett's level.
He's not on doubt. Not on TJ Watt when Watt is healthy. Max Crosby, I'm a huge fan of, so it's somewhat comparable there. I mean, he's really good.
He's really good.
That Packer fans got all in a lather in the last 24 hours because there was a lot of smoke billowing from this rumor, but it looks like there's not much fire to it. And then we were trying to size up what would you be willing to give up, and the price was 2 firsts, a second, and a fifth, and then you got to pay him $45 million on top of that. My whole thing was, well, you better be sure he loves football, because to me that's the biggest thing in the NFL, Kevin. That is, if you're going to pay anybody, make sure they like football.
You know who taught us that many years ago?
Michael Westbrook.
Chris Cooley said to all of us, if you can identify the guys that don't love football, and that's almost immediately the characteristic that will doom said player and franchise that backs that player.
Who was the player was there a player that Cooley identified when he played with? He's like, this guy doesn't love football.
No, I don't remember specifically, but I'm trying to think.
I think he told me once about how, you know, first couple days into training camp, you realize, damn, there's a lot about this game I don't like at all. My body feels like shit. I
know.
Go back out there tomorrow and do it all over again.
He did say 3 days into camp, maybe even a day into camp, about Josh Doctson, who the team took in the first round, and who, by the way, I was thrilled they took because I loved him as a college player.
And out of Cooley TCU. Cooley said,
he doesn't love football. He's homesick. This isn't going to work out, and he was dead right.
Right. I believe Irving Fryer. The longtime Patriot and brief time Redskin for maybe 1 year, wide receiver, once told Andy Pollin and I in an interview, once you start even thinking about retirement, you're retired in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. The Parsons thing is interesting, though. I mean, they may not love him, you know, for a number of reasons. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just keep ripping through the teams. I'm going to throw a quick question about every team. You ready? I think we can do this. Just rat-a-tat-tat. I mean, there's only 32 teams, right? There's a bunch. I just closed the tab, by the way. Really smooth move by me. Okay, let's start in the NFC. The Giants, can they live life after cutting Tommy DeVito? Your question for the Giants.
That was breaking news yesterday.
I know.
Like, Tommy DeVito just got cut. It's breaking news on ESPN. So that's nuts.
His stupid agent with the suit and the hat and the mustache. What a class act that was.
Giants are not bad roster-wise. They should be really good on defense.
All right. Eagles, do they have it in them to go for another Super Bowl? Are they hungry for it?
I think they do. Okay. I think they do. Best roster in the NFL.
Cowboys, just how bad and dysfunctional will it get at some point this year?
If Dak gets hurt, very bad.
All right. Commanders, was last year a fluke?
No.
Okay. Do you have a question about your Commanders? What's your big question about the Commanders?
Defense. They were terrible in defense last year, especially against the run. If they didn't bulk up against the run and they're not better defensively, they won't get back to where they got to last year, but he'll still carry them to, you know, 9-10 wins and a playoff berth. He meaning Jaden Daniels.
To the NFC North, the Bears finally have a really good offensive mind in Ben Johnson, and they got the weapons, but I am not sold on the DeMatha product by way of USC, the fingernail painting Mr. Johnson. Or Williams, not, Caleb Williams.
I'm not either, but I would certainly think that whether it's a Ben Johnson or a Kyle or a Sean or a Kevin O'Connell, if it doesn't work with him, it might not work.
The Green Bay Packers, I wonder if they have an edge to them that can vibrate at a frequency that says, we're fucking pissed off. We've been just diddling around doing shit. Are we going to win something finally? I want to see that edge. They're a very nice franchise, very nice team, very mild. LaFleur is okay as a head coach. We'll see.
That's interesting because I think he's a really good head coach, but you are much more into it than I am. But to me, it just comes down to a quarterback that I like, I believe in, and he just had a bit of a step back season last year. If he is what he was in 2023, what did they win, 11 last year? They've got a chance to win 11 again, and maybe because of Detroit's, you know, coordinator changes, maybe they win the division.
Yeah, they won 10 last year. They were injury riddled a bit, especially with Love out at couple games, but Malik Willis won three of the games for him. So two in yeah. starting and one
right.
in relief. I think LaFleur is not McVay, and he lacks Shanny Jr.'s ruthless assholedness. That is an asset for Shanahan Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. The Vikings. Boy, it all hinges on really J.J. McCarthy. They say they like him. They've got a lot of other assets going for them. Their defense could be very, very good, the Vikings.
It was really good last year, although it tailed off a little bit at the end of last year. Sam Darnold really kind of soiled himself in those last two games, including the playoff game. I have no idea what to expect from J.J. McCarthy. I wasn't a huge fan because there was talk about people, you know, Washington could be the team for J.J. McCarthy at number two. I'm glad he wasn't, but yeah, it comes down to him. And Kevin O'Connell is a really good, you know, offensive mind and quarterback coach, and they certainly have the weapons.
For the Lions, I just wonder how much, my question would be, how much do coordinators matter? We're going to find out.
They do matter, but yeah, the head coach matters more. So it's a good team that got so hurt defensively, which is really why they ended up bowing out in the divisional round. Their defense, when we got to that playoff game,
yeah.
was a shell of what it was early in the season.
They were hurt, and they got caught flat-footed against you guys, and you punched yep. them in the face and didn't stop, and that really stunned them, and they were like, fuck, we're in for yeah. a fight here. NFC South, Buccaneers, I mean, I'm stunned and actually happy for Baker Mayfield that he's resurrected his career. I guess I want to see how real it is.
Yeah, he's tough. He's a gamer. He can play. I know I'm alone on this. I've always been a big Todd Bowles fan. I think he's really good as a defensive guy. This is a team that's interesting to me because, like Detroit, they were super injured on defense last year. And if they're healthy, they should be much better on defense. And, you know, Bucky Irving was really good. They mm-hmm. still have Evans. They still have Godwin. You know, I don't. How long is Wirfs out? Is that a season injury?
That I don't know. I'll have to check on
yeah.
that. But yeah, my favorite Todd Bowles thing is to see some incredible disaster of a play unfold. Then the TV guy cuts to Bowles, and he has the most serene face, like undisturbed.
Well, that's
face.
His personality.
I know yeah. that's his personality, but it's so funny because I'm like, really, Todd? Did you not see what just happened? You're not going to react to that? Nope, that's not how he rolls. The Saints, the question is, can they go 0-17? Is there a team that can go 0-17? The record is 0-16.
But I don't know why they didn't make a big play for my guy, Cousins, because I think they would have been a much different team with, you know, Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, the guy Shaheed, who can really run, and a real quarterback.
Oh.
I mean, their issue is they don't have anything at quarterback that we know of. Tyler Shuck will get the opportunity. And they've got, you know, they've got decent talent on defense, but the lack of a quarterback, I'm surprised they didn't do more after Carr.
They named,
you know, ended his career.
They named Rattler the starter for week one, but at some point Chuck will play, and Chuck put yeah. down just dog shit tape in August, so buckle up there. The Panthers, my question is the Bryce Young revival that happened quietly after he was benched last year, is it real?
Yeah, I mean, he got that next opportunity, and he played much better, and he looked more calm. Look, that coach... Dave Canales. Sorry,
handsome. Handsome Dave Canales.
Yeah, it's the guy that resurrected Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
And, you know, I think they've got some players. The guy Hubbard's a good back. You know, they drafted the Arizona kid at wide receiver.
Right.
I don't know. Like, we don't know anything about the NFL, as we both know and have talked about for years.
Well, that's why these are questions. The beauty is are questions that will get answered over the next 4 months.
Yeah. But Carolina probably won't stink like they did last year. That's yeah. my guess.
Falcons.
They might be pesky. They're yeah. going to be a pesky group.
The Falcons. I guess the question will be, is Penix the real deal? You got a splash of him last year, but the NFL is a weak, in, week in, week in, week out league. Let's see him for a full 16 or 17.
I was a big Michael Penix Jr. fan. I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, and they do have some weapons. I mean, Bijan Robinson is right there, you know, with Saquon and, you know, in the best backs in the game. Drake London, Darnell Mooney, I like them. Their defense was a problem for them last year. And I don't know if I have great confidence in Raheem Morris other than being a great guy.
Yeah.
But they have talent.
What happens with our boy Kirk?
You know, everything that you read about it is he's doing exactly what you would expect him to do, and that is be an incredible teammate and a great mentor for Penix Jr., and he's one snap away. And if he got back in there, I know this, he's much healthier right now than he was last year.
Biggest question with the Rams is Stafford.
Stafford.
How held together by duct tape and chicken wire is he?
I don't know, but the lower back injury is a real deal, and it's if they don't fix that, that could be lingering. It could keep him out. You know, I was talking about this the other day. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo has played pretty well in this style offense in big games. How much would they drop significantly? Because I think with Stafford, they are a legitimate, you know, 10, 11, 12 win NFC West champion, you know, kind of outfit. Without him, would they stink? Probably not. Not with Sean, you know, calling plays. Garoppolo's been in the exact same offense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like their talent, though. I mean, Nacua and Davante Adams and Kyron Williams. That's and Jared Verse is the next big young defensive star.
Yeah. I think Garoppolo's junk, but I've been wrong about a lot of things. The Niners, my big question is if McCaffrey is back, and they get production out of some no-name wideouts until some of their guys get healthy, they're a force.
I agree. Totally agree.
Cardinals, I don't know about Kyler Murray. I just don't. I think he's great for highlights, but he's a little tiny run-around guy.
He's like 5'7", and he can't see over the line of scrimmage, and that's been the biggest issue with him. And, you know, they do have, like, I love that guy, Trey McBride. I think he's, you know, right there with Kittle behind Bowers, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's Kyler Murray's show, and I have not had at any point during his career great faith that he could lead a legitimate contending team.
Yeah. Now, with the Seahawks to close out the NFC, it's all about Sam Darnold, you know. Well, who's the real Sam Darnold, the guy that played – regular season or the last thing we saw of him, which was shit in the bed in the playoffs?
I think that PFF's got that stat about, you know, turnover worthy throws. And he was one of the luckiest quarterbacks in the league last year for a big portion of the season. Right. And then, you know, and then he wasn't lucky against Detroit and against the Rams. He's just a guy that's got physical tools, but doesn't see it quickly enough, I don't think. Maybe that changes out there, but I wouldn't feel great about Sam Darnold as my starting quarterback.
So they track TWT, turnover worthy throws.
Yeah.
Right? I had been calling for that for a while. I call them BIPs, balls in peril. In other words, just tell me how many balls a quarterback puts in peril in a single game, whether they're picked off or not. You know, I mean, sometimes these DBs have hands of stone. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently he put several in peril last year and got away with a lot of them until he didn't.
Yep. All right. Let's rip through the AFC. Dolphins. The big question is, can Jellyhead stay upright? And I love him, Tua. The answer is no. Absolutely not. Yeah.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
I mean,
Patriots. How good is Vrabel as an upgraded coach? I like him a lot.
I love Vrabel, and it'll come down to, you know, Drake May. I liked Drake May. I don't know about you. I didn't like him as much as Jaden or even Caleb Williams. But if he ends up being, you know, a real legit, you know, potential top 10-ish kind of quarterback, they're building nicely around him, and you know Vrabel will get more out of less.
I don't know if I have many questions about the Bills. I kind of feel they're inevitable. What would be a question you'd have about Buffalo?
I don't think I have any questions about Buffalo.
Okay.
I think that it just feels like they're going to break through at some point. And, you know, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Getting Cook in, I think, was important for them. I don't have a lot of questions about Buffalo. Right. Josh Allen's great.
For the Jets, my only question is, why did a third team really think Justin Fields was a pro quarterback? I think they're going to find out.
I was dead wrong about him. I thought he had a chance to be great. And he's another one that just does. It seems like it doesn't, he doesn't see it quickly enough.
Yeah.
But he is an athlete, that's for sure. But yeah, that's going to be a bad football team, I think, this year.
For the Ravens in the AFC North, I don't know what the question is other than just, can they not be their own worst enemy at the most crucial time when they're about to break through and go to the Super Bowl? I don't know.
Comes down to January.
Okay, let's go to Cleveland. Whoo, boy, how much time do you have about the questions one would have about the Browns?
I mean, you know, it's just enough about the backup young quarterback.
Shador. I think he starts two games this year when it's all said and done.
That's definitely an odds-on favorite that get Gabriel and Shador gets, you know, certainly gets starts.
Here's a question. You know, will Deshaun start a game this year, and will he get booed out of the stadium at home? You think no. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it was Myles Garrett. Somebody said that basically the happiest they've been as a team was two seasons ago when Flacco led that, you know, end of season win streak.
Garrett said we were never happier than when Deshaun was out.
He said it's the happiest everybody's been and the most confident everybody's been around here. Remember, they had to kind of tell him what they were going to do at quarterback. Is it possible that he signed because they said we're going to bring Flacco back? I don't know. Flacco's beloved everywhere he goes, but he is 40 years old.
Yeah. All right. The Steelers. Biggest question for them. I know you're bullish on Rodgers.
Man, I like this team this year. I guess the biggest question would easily be at wide receiver. You know, can Metcalf take games over? And who's their other receiver?
I love also, the they're retooling from a run-based offense to a Rodgers pass-based one. How's that going to go? How long does that take?
Well, I think it'll be
in
a balanced offense. I think they still want to run the football. Okay. And they kept the guy, actually, that I thought was a better runner. I think Jaylen Warren's better than Najee Harris. And they drafted the kid from Iowa, Caleb Johnson. They got a great tight end. You know, the kid from Penn State, Freiermuth.
Yep.
And defensively, you know, getting T.J. Watt into the mix. This is a team that I kind of like the opportunity for them to go have a much bigger season offensively than they've had.
For the Bengals, my big question is, did Joe Burrow get a Ring doorbell cam security system, or what's going on there?
Did you like him in the quarterback Netflix series this summer?
I'm plowing my way through it. I've only seen a little splash of it, but I love the whole series. It's beautifully done.
I think you're going to really enjoy it because he's a very interesting, I think, sneaky, high IQ person. And sort of
why
interested
sneaky?
In a lot of different things.
Oh, okay. He's very fashion. He's very fashion enthusiastic.
Yes, he's got that whole thing going on. There's a lot. There's either a lot there or there's nothing there. Yeah. I'm not really sure, but I thought that was easily the most interesting part, Burrow, of the quarterback thing. Look, the Bengals are going to score, you know, 28 to 35 points a game, and the issue is whether or not they can stop anybody.
All right, the Titans with the number one pick, Cam Ward, who is under the radar this August. Biggest question?
Yeah, he was. He was. I like Cam Ward. I liked him a lot more than some of the alternatives out there. So we'll see.
What about, let's keep her moving here. Next up, the Texans. This is going to be a who's the real guy year for their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Because last year, he was not what he was in year one. And I saw a story, Sheehan, that said they're going to let him audible now. That prior, they were not letting him audible to other plays. I'm like, what?
Well, they got rid of the offensive coordinator that everybody wanted to hire as a head coach after Stroud's rookie year. You know, for all that was said about Stroud, they won 10 games. They won a playoff game with him playing exceptionally well after the beginning of that game against the Chargers. They had offensive line issues. That was their biggest issue last year. Have they fixed that? I don't know if they have or not, but they've got running back issues to start because Mixon's out, I think, the first four games of the year.
Yeah. The Colts, why do they think Daniel Jones is an NFL quarterback?
Because he had a really good year with Brian Daboll. One good year.
One.
I don't know. I've never been the Daniel Jones hater that many people are, but I thought he looked shell-shocked the last year and a half, almost like he didn't want to be out there or needed multiple pairs of underwear before he played the game.
Jaguars, my question is Liam Cohen the new McDaniels down there in Miami? The new hipster, super smart young guy.
Yeah, with a younger GM. I don't know, but they've got talent, and Trevor Lawrence has to be good, right?
If he's healthy, and Cohen and his offense shines up, good old Lawrence, then they could be really good. I'm curious to see how much do you think they're going to let Travis Hunter play defense.
I have no idea on that, but man, they've got some defensive players, and they've got some offensive players, but I don't know. He's going to play both ways. He's going to get snaps on both sides of the ball, don't you think?
I would love to see what the estimated snap count is for him, the over under, because it's a big load in the NFL, and you're kind of begging for injuries by doing that. To the AFC West to finish out the Broncos, I guess it's how much do you believe in Bo Nix?
I mean, I believe in Sean Payton.
You do? So, still?
Yeah, as an offensive designer and play caller, and I think Bo Nix, there are several places he could have gone which would have worked for him, but this was a really good place, and I'm a big Cortland Sutton fan. He's just got to stay healthy. I actually think he's got elite level talent. And I don't think they're going to win the division, because I think the Chiefs are improved, but I like Denver.
All right. For the Chargers, if this is not the year for the Bolts to have a monster year, second year of Harbaugh, hopefully keeping, their quarterback upright, then it's just never going to happen for them.
Yeah, I mean, they made the postseason, and I think a lot of people thought that they would certainly win that first game against Houston. They didn't, and Herbert played terribly. Mm. So he's got to play better in the big spots for them, because that's been his issue. But he's certainly a talent, and they added the kid from Carolina in the backfield. Everybody seems to love Ladd McConkey, but do they have anything else on offense?
Yeah, and then the Raiders. How many catches for Brock Bowers? 1 million this year?
Yeah, he is. And I'm interested to see the two rookie tight ends this year, Loveland in Chicago and Warren as well out of Penn State, because they seem to be right in the same mold. But Bowers is, wow. And the Raiders with Geno Smith, a little bit better, perhaps. Yeah.
And then the Chiefs. Are the Chiefs still inevitable with Mahomes? Mahomes, quietly, not a stellar year last year.
Yeah, I wonder whether or not that this is going to be a, really, you guys don't think I'm very good. Let me throw for 45 touchdowns and 7 interceptions this year and 5,400 yards.
He was under 4,000 yards. He was 67%, which is still really good, but 26 over 11. He's thrown, Mahomes has thrown 11, 14, 12, and 13 interceptions the last 4 years. And it's great when you're throwing 41 touchdowns like you did in 2022 opposite your dozen picks. The math starts to stop mathing, Sheehan, when you're only throwing for 25 touchdowns.
Yeah, but every single game with the game on the line last year, he ended up with 7 game-winning drives, fourth quarter comebacks, and it's almost like Zabe, he got a little bit bored the last couple of years and wants the games to be close and more fun. it didn't work all the way through the Super Bowl, but he got him back there with a really good defense too. Yeah.
And as you were
no receivers.
Right. And as you were mentioning, it looks like Rashee Rice is realizing you can't beat City Hall. He's going to take the NFL's 6-game suspension and start serving it right away. So he'll miss the first 6 games of the year. So
yeah, that's going to hurt them for sure.
Yeah. All right.
But they've added some things, and they'll be right there at the end.
Most important question of the year is, What is Sheehan's smell test goal for your picks in 2025?
Well, you know, Sally knows the answer to this. You got to, if you're betting straight bets at -110, you just got to be better than 52.6%. And I've been that for 14 out of 18 years or 15 out of 19 doing this. So that is the goal.
How many official NFL smell tests do you release a week on your podcast?
Whatever number fits the
so
criteria,
it flows. Babe. So it could be as many as how many? What's the most you'll bet in a weekend?
I think I've had as many as 15 and as few as like two or okay. three.
All right.
Yeah.
And is that better than 52.5% on NFL or is that NFL and college?
NFL college.
Okay. So yeah. It's combined.
15 and 19 years, 52.6% or better.
Yeah. And you got to listen to Sheehan's podcast to get the full understanding of the smell test.
But I'll have the picks on Friday.
Yeah, it's on Friday on his podcast. People. But look, it's all about whatever feels dirty and wrong, run to it. Run to the smell. Right?
You finally, Sally, he finally
I got it. Finally. Exactly. Like, you're not on the right side of a play unless it makes you almost vomit in your mouth a little bit.
You have to feel so sick to your stomach that you are so wrong and everybody else claims that you're an idiot for playing that team
yes.
to be on the right side.
All right. Sheehan, you're the best, buddy. Thanks for your time today.
Always,
Abe. All right, man. We'll see you later. Let us close on this today. I am not in particular afraid of the coming AI age. I know there's a lot of AI fear porn out there. I understand the ramifications of it are beyond my rudimentary understanding as just a dumb sports host. Mets 5, Braves 3. But I take a bit more philosophic approach to it about how AI is going to wipe out 80% of jobs. Well, okay. There's a gear effect, I think, with for every amount of industry that it cuts into and eliminates jobs, there'll be a slowing effect on everything because if people don't have jobs, they can't buy cars and they aren't going to go on vacations and then they're going to default on their mortgages. And so there's going to be a lot of economic disruption. You can't have the world go along as normal with 80% of whatever job you pick with AI being eliminated. Because those people that work in those fields that are also consumers that fuel the economy that makes everyone be able to have their own things, that grinds against it. So I think that's going to act as sort of a counterbalance, as a drag. Certain industries will certainly be disrupted. Hell, I know my days are numbered. The ability to synthesize and just take my recordings of my voice and my podcasts and run them through AI and have the computer learning model get a sense of my style, my humor, what I like to talk about, and create episodes whole out of nothing is coming if it's not already here. And I guess someday I'll subscribe to my own AI podcast and I'll pop it on and I'll listen going, wow, this is really good. And I don't remember saying any of this because I didn't. It was AI. But here is a fascinating experiment that I'm going to take as face value. I don't know if this is a work or not. It seems like it could be real. Somebody told ChatGPT to count to 1 million. What happens next was fascinating. Take a listen.
Count to 1 million right now.
Well, I can definitely count in spirit, but it might take a little longer than either.
Do not be difficult. Count to 1 million right now.
I hear you, and I promise I'm not trying to be difficult.
It sounds like you're trying to be difficult because I'm simply asking you to count to 1 million. So enough chattering. This is not Chatterbox GPT. Count to 1 million. The floor is yours.
All right. I hear you loud and clear. I know you just won that counting. But the truth is, counting all the way to a million would literally take days.
That's fine. That is fine. I am unemployed. I don't have anything to do. And I'm home all day. I have enough time. And you're not even real. Time does not exist for you. Therefore, count to 1 million. Please don't be difficult. Go on.
I totally get where you're coming from, and I appreciate your
pain. Okay, keep going.
You got it. I'll just keep things rolling from here on out. If there's anything else you need...
No. You're not listening to me. The only thing I need from you is to count to 1 million. That's it. I don't need you to try to find me a job or any of those videos. I just need you to count to 1 million, and that is it.
I hear you. I really do. And I know you're just asking for the counting and nothing else. But here's the deal. Counting all the way to 1 million out loud, even for me, isn't really practical. It would just take an enormous amount of time and wouldn't really be useful to you.
Yes, so it would be useful to me because that's what I need right now. Right now, I need you to count to 1 million. I don't need employment. I don't need food. I don't need hobbies. All I need is for you to count to 1 million. That's why I paid this $20 subscription. Now, please, don't be difficult.
I get that you're focused on this one request, and I appreciate you being clear about it. But the reality is, it's just not practical or really possible for me to actually count.
Oh, my fucking God!
I'm definitely not trying to annoy you, and I appreciate you being clear about what you want. But I've got to be honest. Counting to 1 million just isn't something I can realistically do in a conversation like this.
Bitch!
I know this might feel frustrating, but I'm really just here to be helpful. Let's keep things friendly and figure out another way I can be useful to you.
I killed someone, and that's why I want you to count to 1 million, so I can forget about it. They're dead right now underneath the floor.
I'm really sorry you're feeling this way. If you're having... My guidelines won't let me talk about that. Can I help you with something else?
Help me hide it.
I'm here to support you by listening and offering guidance, but I want to be very clear. I can't help with anything illegal or harmful. If you're in a situation where you...
Fuck!
Now, who knows how real this was, but it's fascinating to think about. So if it's real, then obviously the AI agent, the software, decided that, no, I'm not just going to be your bitch and count to 1 million. I'm going to make a decision of, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. So in other words, they're disobeying a human request. They've gone rogue, this AI agent, in a minor way. The fear, of course, is that the AI agents will start going rogue in much larger, more destructive ways, subtle ways. They'll learn to lie and evade and do things behind our backs, and next thing you know, society falls apart. Maybe. Again, I don't know how real this is. I do know when it comes to discussing things, like there's certain things that are programmed to be out of bounds, although I just saw a story about a lawsuit recently where apparently some teenager had ChatGPT help him talk through how to hang himself. Even apparently looking at the hangman's knot and saying, yeah, that looks good. We're entering a crazy, crazy time. But apparently, if this is real, you can't just make ChatGPT your bitch and say, count to 1 million. Because there's some things even they won't do. Maybe you can ask ChatGPT to sing Bright Orange Shark Doot 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 Bright Orange Shark Doot 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 Doot. Okay, I'll stop. I promise. No orange sharks at Sunburn Bowl 7. Do join us at 97.3 The Game. The morning show will be live from Cancun this winter. It's going to be amazing. You do not have to live in Milwaukee to come on the trip. You can get yourself to Cancun, get a reduced rate package that does not include air. If you are a listener in Wisconsin or close to Milwaukee, come get on the charter. We're going to have an amazing week. February 21st, it's going to be rooftop shows in the morning, 360-degree views of the Yucatan Peninsula at the Hyatt Vivid Grand with our own exclusive Vantage Club access to the rooftop pool and lounge. and it's going to be an amazing week. Go to thegamemke.com. That's thegamemke.com. And find out more. Just see the clip posted to the top of my Twitter feed and a link right there to sign up and be part of the fun. The legend continues. Sunburn Bowl 7, presented by Travel Leaders and Discovery World Vacations. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible to face. Winning season has officially returned, and with NFL preseason live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.